Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to thank God once again for this wonderful time. Amen. And let us continue in His presence. And we are continuing with the series of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So let us go to the scripture that we were on of the teaching of the Holy Spirit, John chapter number 14, verse number 26. John chapter number 14, verse number 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So I had been explaining every scripture that Jesus talks or Jesus is teaching to the disciples about the Holy Spirit. And we are still on John chapter number 14, which includes the introduction to the personality of the Holy Spirit and which include the functions of what the Holy Spirit would do. And now we were on verse 26, and Jesus says that He will help you. He is the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And I told you the Helper will manifest in our lives by in the spirit of grace and truth. I already spoke on the spirit of grace, how He will help us manifesting as the spirit of grace. And this verse again talks about the spirit of truth. He says He will teach you all things. It's the spirit of truth manifesting as the spirit of truth. He will teach you all things. I told you what are the all things. The all things are the deep things of God, which are mentioned in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. We went there, and it's those are the deep things of God, which includes four aspects in the deep things of God that he will teach us those things. He will teach us those things, and we will come to that how he is going to teach us those things. He has a way of teaching it. Amen. This scripture is like Jesus is trying to introduce his students to a new teacher who will take over the course. He's telling, you know, I was teaching you the course. I was the teacher now, but I am going to go to my father soon, and another teacher would come who would teach you the same course, but in a different way. Amen. The Holy Spirit has a different way to teach the people. We will come to that. The Bible says He will lead you into the truth. That is how He will teach you. He will not give you lectures, but He leads you into the teaching that you are supposed to receive. Hallelujah. So, last meeting, I told you what are the all things. The all things includes the mind of the Lord, the burdens of God. Thirdly, the predestined plan of God. That is the destiny of God for your life. And third is the revelations and the mysteries in the written word of God. So that is the first help that the Spirit of Truth will offer to you. That is the first help that He will give to you. Okay, let us now move on to the second help that He will offer to you. The second help that He will offer to you is He will teach you by reminding you the doctrines. Write it down. He will teach you by reminding you the doctrines. Now, come back to verse number 26. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. That is reminding. Okay. That is the second help that He will give us. Now stay with me. He will what? Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. It's the reminding of the word. It's the reminding of the doctrines of the word of God, of the words of Jesus. He will remind you. Now why it is necessary? Oh, once we have heard it, why to remind? Because we live in the flesh and we operate in the human mind in this worldly realm. A movie that you saw on Netflix, you will remember it for 10 years. But a word that you read today, you will forget tomorrow. That is how we are built. We remember the things of the world very nicely. Hallelujah. Last World Cup in the football match, you know who was in the semi-final. You know who is in the final. But when you read a word, you forget tomorrow. You forget day after tomorrow. Even when you hear a sermon, even when we hear a sermon, we forget about it. And because we are living in the flesh, surrounded by the things of the world, that's why it's very necessary. When the Bible talks about Psalm chapter number 1, that blessed is the man who meditates on the word day and night, what he is doing is he is taking the help of the word to remind himself again and again the same word that he has read. Reminding the doctrine of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? Because the Bible says, turn with me to Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 32. See what it says. Acts, the book of Acts chapter number 20, 20, verse number 32. It says, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, underline that, and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word will be able, the word can build your life up only when the word is striking at you again and again, only when the word is coming to you again and again, the doctrines are been reminded to you again and again. You know, certain doctrines, even as in this ministry, some of you are there in the ministry from quite a sitting year, from 2 years, and you see how many times we are reminded by God about certain doctrines, though it has been taken, but it has been reminded by the Holy Spirit, like the doctrine of prayer. God again and again teaches about the aspects of prayer, like the doctrine of giving. He reminds us, the Holy Spirit reminds us, but the reminding of the Holy Spirit is not like a dull reminding, oh yeah, this is repeated. No, every time he comes to remind us, it strikes us in a fresh way. That is the speciality of when the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation comes to us and brings us the same thing that we have heard earlier, but it strikes us in a fresh way with a enlightening in our spirits. Amen. Okay, listen to me. Revelation chapter number, let me search that verse. Let me search that verse. Revelation, chapter number, yes, chapter number 5, okay, Revelation chapter number 5, verse number 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal. And you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then again, verse number 12. Look at verse number 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Then again, see verse number 13, the song in the verse number 13. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then again, see the song in Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. Revelation chapter number 4, verse number 11. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by you, by your will, they exist and were created. The same song they are singing, the same words, giving glory and honor. But the Bible says, again they sang a new song. Again they sang a new song. They are using the same words, but each time they are singing the same song, it seems to be a new song. It seems to be fresh. That is the work of reminding. Every time it comes to us, maybe we are singing that song for the 200th time. But when we sing the song, as if we are singing it for the first time. Are we understanding now? Hallelujah. Reminding, he does the work of reminding the doctrines of the word of God. And again, it has happened so many times. I went to the same scripture, but God started to speak to me. I have read the Bible so many times, again and again. But I am again excited to read the Bible. Does it happen with any other book? No, it never happens with me. But the Bible, once I read it, I have again the hunger to go back to it again, because the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance. He is reminding us the doctrines afresh, bringing us to the knowledge of the word alive. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The things that I preached yesterday, I cannot preach today. I need freshness. Hallelujah. The sermons that I preached last year, I cannot repeat it this year. I need to have the Holy Spirit again bring the revelation of the word of God for what he wants to speak through the same scripture this time, this year, this season. The word of God is a treasure like the sea, having more abundance that is there in the sea. The more you go deep into it, the more you will recognize, I have to go more deeper into it. Then you go more deeper, you will realize, oh, there is more deeper. There is more deeper. That is how. And that will happen. You will go deeper when you allow the teacher, the helper, to remind you the words, to remind you the doctrine of God. And when he keeps reminding you, you know what is happening to you? This word that you are meditating on, and you are allowing the teacher to bring to your remembrance, reminding you again and again, this word will start to build up your life. This word will start to build up your character. Your old character he will destroy. Remember, we were talking, I think last Friday, about the ministry of Jeremiah. And God told to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I have chosen you as my mouthpiece, as my voice. And what you will do is, you will destroy, you will overthrow, and then you will build, and then you will plant. Jeremiah chapter number 1. You remember that verse? Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse number 10. Jeremiah 1, verse number 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, then to build and to plant. So first, what happens is, first there is rooting out, pulling down, destruction, throwing down, and then the building up starts off. Are you understanding? So the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the helper, he will remind you the words of God. He will bring to your remembrance every word, even when you fall into sin, even when you are tempted. He will bring to your remembrance the things God spoke to you. So that, first of all, the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he will do it? First of all, what the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit will do is rooting out, pulling down. What rooting out? What pulling down? The strongholds in your mind, the stubbornness in our hearts. He will root out. He will pull down. He will destroy. He will throw down. And once your heart is prepared, your mind is prepared, your life is prepared, then he will start to build you up in the likeness of Christ. It is the word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, whoever is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone away, and behold, all things are made new. How it is made new? By the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit, through which he throws out and he pulls down, he roots out, destroys, and then he builds and plants. Amen. Hallelujah. If a glass is dirty with mud, you will first wash the glass, sanctify the glass, and then pour water into it. That is how the Holy Spirit reminding ministry would work in our lives. Are we understanding? He brings to our remembrance. Jesus said he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He will keep you reminding the doctrines. Amen. I will come to many other scriptures. One of the way he will remind you is in Mark chapter number 13, verse number 11. Let's go to Mark. Chapter number 13, verse number 11. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Amen. What you need to speak. Hallelujah. Though you prepare, but the reminding of the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, will bring in your mind what you need to utter through your mouth. In situations. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? That is how he will, the words that we have studied, he will bring to us through a reminder ministry, through a remembrance ministry of the Holy Spirit towards us. That is how he will offer us help. Amen. You don't even know what you will speak. You have to go for a court case. You don't even know what you will speak before the judge. Maybe you have to go. There was an issue in the office and they held you responsible. And they told you this is the time for interrogation. We will ask you questions of what you have done. You are so in fear. You don't even know. You can ask the Holy Spirit to remind. You are so in fear that you don't even remember whether you did the mistake or not. The Holy Spirit can remind you, and by reminding in your mind, he can bring those words, those utterance when it is needed for your help. Reminding ministry, he will bring to your remembrance. He will bring to your remembrance those things that you are supposed to receive in that hour. Those things that you are supposed to receive. The more you will chew, you will feed on the word of God. The more you will meditate on the word of God, the increasing measure of the reminding of the Holy Spirit will come for you, will be given to you. Hallelujah. So in every situation, you are so filled with the word in your spirit that the Holy Spirit can bring to your remembrance the things that are required for you in that very situation, reminding ministry. You don't know what to pray at that hour. You don't know what to do. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit would remind you a promise of God. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit, what you heard 2 years back, what you read 1 year back. Remember, I told you on Friday how the pastor who gave me the prophecy in 2019 or 2020 came to me afresh from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord himself in 2022. It's the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. He would remind us all things. Amen. Are we understanding? Let us go. Again, apostles were carrying out the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. I will show you from the scripture. First of all, let me take you to 2 Peter. Second Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 10. Onwards. 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse number 10. Now see how many times Peter mentions the word remind. Verse number 10 onwards. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Underline that. What he's saying? I will not be negligent to what? Remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Very important words to understand. What he is saying to the church, what he is saying to the Christians is, I know you are established in the truth. I know you know the doctrine of prayer. You know things about prayer, how to pray. I know you know the Lord's Prayer. I know you know the doctrine of giving. But, and you are established in the truth. But I will still remind you. That is what he is saying. Okay, let me read that verse number 12 again. For this reason, what reason? For us to have an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus. For that reason, what he is saying, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. I will continue to bring a reminder of the doctrines again and again to you. Let's read ahead. Verse number 13. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in the tent, to stir you up by what? By reminding you. Doctrine is something that needs to be reminded. Word is something that needs to be reminded. And the person who is operating with the help of the teacher, the Holy Spirit, whenever he reminds you, it will not come to, oh, he started again. Last time also he spoke. But it will come to you in a fresh manner. Amen. You know the doctrine of prayer. You know the doctrine of giving. But when again it has been released to you, it is released by the Holy Spirit to you to complete the empty parts of that doctrine, of that aspect, which was not built in you, which were not working in you. There needs to be a reminder of the doctrine of the Word of God. You know this story. That when the stone that is in the midst of the river, which is in a rectangular, you know, in a pointed shape, not a proper pebble, but even as the water continues to flow through that stone, the sharpness of the stone, the sharp edges of the stone starts to smooth down over a period of time, over the years, because there is a continuous flow of water over the stones in the river. And even as there is a over a period of time, over some course of years, that stone which was sharp and was having sharp edges was turned into a circular smooth pebble. It happened because there was a continuous flow of water for consistently hitting that sharp stone for a long time, continuously, persistently. It was hitting that stone for a long period of time, and the stone did not turn into a smooth pebble over 2 years or over 2 days or 3 days. It took years, and it used the continuous flow of the water against its structure to turn it into a smooth pebble. That is what the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit does to us. Hallelujah. That is what Peter is saying. Though you know the truth of the Word of God, still you need to be reminded, so that when you are consistently meditating, when you are consistently hearing the Word of God from the helper, from the teacher, from the Holy Spirit, because when we meditate, the teacher comes in and he reminds us. You read Psalm chapter number 1. So many times, but again, when you read it, the teacher comes in and reminds you some things that you never knew from the same scripture. Hallelujah. And when you consistently meditate, learn from the teacher, and he reminds you the same word again and again, the sharp edges in your life are being hit by the reminding ministry consistently, and the word is able to transform you into the very image of Christ. The word will be able to transform your character. The word will be able to transform your language. The word will be able to transform your behavior, your thinking pattern, the way you approach things, the way you speak, your body language. The word will transform everything that you do. When you consistently allow the teacher to remind you and to hit you with the Word of God. Amen. Are we understanding? Once I saw a vision, this is long time back, I was just reminded by the teacher now about that vision. It just came by the teacher. And I saw this vision where I saw a hammer And I saw something that looked like a wooden furniture or something. And it all fell apart. All the parts were here and there. And then I saw this hammer in the realm of the spirit. No, I first of all, I saw this wooden parts. Someone was trying to place it together, but it was falling apart again. Again, they were trying to place it together. It was falling apart again. Then I saw this hammer and I saw some nails. So the nails were put on the wooden furniture and the hammer started to hammer the nails, ta, 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 so many times. And after some time, the nails went into the furniture and the furniture stood. That wooden thing, whatever was it, stood in place. I was seeing this vision. I told, Lord, what is this? Are you talking to me to open a furniture business? He said, no, 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 not any business. I am trying to explain to you the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those people who are stubborn, those people who don't like to be built by the word of God, I will use my spirit to hammer my word of God into them through situations, reminding them, so that I will be able to fix their lives. Hallelujah. So I get a lot of visions, then I write it down. And the Lord speaks to me through that, but I don't use it most of the time. I o only teach from the word of God because gifts are good, but when it comes to building of the lives of people, I know the word of God has to be taught. Hallelujah. So I operate in a lot of visions and dreams and keep on interpreting things. But when I would teach, I will teach from the word of God. And everything I would verify what I am hearing from God, is it in line with the scriptures? You know, a certain prophet from the US, he is a very famous one. Thousands of people follow him. But the doctrines that he is teaching, I heard him. It's of the devil. And one of the things he was teaching, he said, you know what is the secret of the Lord? He was using the scripture in the book of Psalm, which says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear God. And then he said, you know what is the secret of the Lord? And people were, yes, prophet, tell us, prophet. He said, the secrets of the Lord are some things that are not even in the Bible. Oh God, I said, what he's teaching? Saying the secrets you are receiving is higher than the authority of the word, you are deceiving yourself and the people. Every secret of the Lord will align with the word of God. Every secret of the Lord, I will not give to people anything, any secret, any mystery, any encounter I had. I will not mention it. I will until it aligns with the word. Every secret has to be in the word, and you need the help of the helper to give you the wisdom, how it aligns. It will not directly align with the word. You need to have the wisdom and the spirit of revelation, the help of the teacher, to see how it aligns with the word. The word of God is the one that will build our lives up. And how will it build our lives up? With the hammer and the nails, when it is continually being hammered into our spirit. Let the word of God build you up in Jesus' name. Let the word of God fix our lives, you know, and be open to the word of God. Let you receive. Many of the people are not being built by the word of God because there is the existence of the spirit of pride, arrogance, and stubbornness. Hallelujah. If a person has pride, the Bible says God will resist him. God will resist such a person because the spirit of pride does not allows the word to be hammered into that person. If you want the word of God to build you up, you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, under the word of God, under the authority of the word of God. And whatever you are or I am, you know, maybe you are a PhD, maybe you are a big person in the world, but when you come to God, you come like a baby, you humble yourself. You don't come, you know, Lord, I have a lot of money. Lord, I have this. Lord, I know so much. I have a PhD in science. I have a PhD in quantum physics. I have a PhD in English. So I know a lot. Maybe I will get a higher place in your kingdom. No, God will say, go down because I resist pride. And give grace to the humble. Hallelujah. That is what Jesus was teaching. to the people by giving them two examples of a Pharisee and of a tax collector. The Pharisee came to God and said, Lord, I am paying my tithes. Lord, I am fasting. Lord, I am doing all the rules and regulation and the rituals that I am supposed to do, except my prayer. But the tax collector came and said, Lord, I am a sinner. First of all, he bowed his head. He did not lift up his head to God and said, I am a sinner, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Please accept my prayer. And Jesus said, not the prayer of the Pharisee, but the prayer of the tax collector would be accepted, because he humbled himself before God. Hallelujah. Amen. Never pray a prayer saying, Lord, I have served you for 20 years. I have did this for you. On the basis of that, answer me, Lord. No, that is not the prayer that God will answer. Hallelujah. Many servants of God become like that, because they start to trust their own works, departing from the help of the Spirit of grace. But whatever we have done, we coming to God, Lord, I have done nothing. Everything was by your grace. Please help me. I am your baby. I am your child. Hallelujah. Then the teacher would help you. Then the Spirit of grace will be able to build you up. However old we become, however experienced we become, but still we need the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need the hammers and the nails to fix our lives up, to fix the broken areas of our life. And it will only happen by the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's come back to the scripture. 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter number 1 we were on. And we were, where we were? Verse number 13. Okay. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. This is the third time Peter is using the word reminding you. Okay. You see that? Did you observe that? First, he mentioned it in verse number where? 12. Verse number 12, that I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Verse number 13, again he mentioned it, to stir you up by reminding you. Verse number 14, again he is mentioning it. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in the tent, to stir you up by reminding you. Knowing this, shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things. After my decease, again and again, reminding. So, that is the help that the Holy Spirit offers us. And this help, he is offering the church with Peter. Because Peter has been led to remind, again, 3-4 times now. You can count afterwards. 3-4 times, he is again and again, I have to remind you. He is going to die. And he knows he will die in the flesh. Because, you know, the way he talks about death, it's not like death. He's saying the Lord Jesus told me to put off my tent soon. So he knows that he will not die. He will just leave this tent, the temporary tent. And godly men and women of God know that death has no power over them. But when the Lord commands them to come to him, then they will leave this temporary tent. Hallelujah. For us, death is not death. Death is just a leaving to the Lord. At his command. Always pray that prayer. Lord, keep me in your word. Lord, keep me in your will all my life on this earth, that never ever I will die suddenly. But when my assignment is complete, I will come back to you, leaving my tent at your command. Yes. Hallelujah. That is how a godly man and a woman should die. In the flesh. At the command of the Lord, you leave the tent. Okay, any which ways. Still he is saying, he knows that he will depart. He is saying, I am going to depart, but I am concerned about you, church of God. I need to remind you. Even after my decease, he says. Hallelujah. He says, moreover, verse number 15. I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So he is, what he is doing there, Apostle Peter is teaching the other pastors, so that when he leaves, the pastors will be able to remind the church the doctrines of the word of God. Amen. So important is reminding. reminding of the doctrines of the word of God. Verse number 16. Verse number 16. Now, very important, very important. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is what the Apostle Peter is reminding the church. It's not theory. You see what it is. It is a result of the encounters that these people, the apostles, had with the Lord Jesus. So listen to me very carefully. He says, let me come to that verse again. He's saying, we are not reminding you, or we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. The things that we have seen, the word of truth that we have handled with our own hands, that is what we are teaching you. We are not teaching you cunningly devised fables that came out of some books. The knowledge that came out of some theory, the knowledge that came out of some principles of the world, we are not teaching you that. What we are reminding you, the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to teach you because we ourselves were eyewitnesses to the majesty of his glory. We have witnessed Jesus Christ. We have witnessed his majesty. We have seen him. We have been with him. We have seen him transfigured. Actually, the context he is talking to the church, he is talking through the context of Jesus being transfigured on the mountain, and where Peter, John, and James were there. Let's see that. Okay. Verse number 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. He is talking in context to the encounter, to the transfigured Jesus that they saw on the mountain, on the holy mountain. Okay, and they are saying, we have witnessed the voice of the Father coming from heaven, declaring Jesus as his Son. Amen. As his beloved Son. And that is, those are the encounters. Those are the glory encounters that we had, as a result of which we are able to teach you. Amen. Verse number 18. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What happened to Peter after he had the encounter, seeing Jesus transfigured, seeing Moses and Elijah coming to Jesus and discussing about his departure? What it says, verse number 19, having the encounter, we had the what? Prophetic word confirmed. Amen. So, when he had the encounter, the Holy Spirit reminded Peter that this is what Isaiah prophesied in the book of Isaiah. This is the Messiah. Hallelujah. This is the soon and coming King. This is the Emmanuel. This is the man. This is the beloved Son of God, on whom will rest the seven spirits of God. Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 9. After the encounter that Peter had, the book of Isaiah came and hit him as a revelation. Peter was a Jew, and Jews read the Torah, read the book of the prophets. They knew it. Hallelujah. But after he saw Jesus transfigured, the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, the prophetic scriptures that was in his head came into his spirit by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of revelation. And he was reminded, like the word that he had read as theory came alive in the life and spirit to him. That is the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That is how
I pray that we are supposed to read the word of God, that every word that we are reading will come alive to us, hit us by revelation. Amen. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. This is how the Holy Spirit, the scriptures that we have already read, some encounters, some things that we will have in our life that He will bring us, will bring the scriptures alive. Every Christian should have glory encounters, by the way. We are not having glory encounters because we are too busy in our domestic life, and maybe we are too busy in church activities. Hallelujah. When I was, you know, I am still young, but when I was younger and I was in the church, I saw something, you know, and I saw Monday this meeting, Tuesday that meeting, Wednesday choir practice, Thursday songwriting. So the church occupied the youth and snatched away that time. They were too occupied to have glory encounters. They were too occupied to see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They were too occupied to know the Holy Spirit. Oh my God, I will tell you, if I want to receive a word, I have to take out 7 days from my schedule and go into a hotel room. I know there is a lot of waiting required to enter into the realms of glory for me to tap into a revelation that my mind does not know. No eye has seen, no mind, no heart, neither it has entered into the heart of man, no ear has heard. Such things, if I want to know it, I know I need to take a long time. Take a long time. It will not happen in 2 hours. It will not happen in 3 hours. It will come from a consistent waiting when the glory encounters will come. And because we are not having encounters in our life, because of which the words that people are saying, I know the Bible, I can teach the Bible, but you speak empty words because it has not come as a result of the encounters of the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit bringing the word alive in you. Peter is saying, we are not teaching you cunningly devised fables. We are declaring you to you the power and the majesty and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we were eyewitnesses of His glory. We are teaching things that we have handled by our hands. We are teaching things that we have witnessed. We are teaching things that are alive by revelation, by the teacher, the Holy Spirit in our spirit. That is what we are teaching you. And these things, if we teach you by reminding you, as we were reminded by the Holy Spirit again and again, if we remind you again and again, you are by no way going to hell. You will make it to heaven. And not only scrap your way to heaven, but you will have a good report. You will have some crowns. You will have some mansions there in heaven. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That is what Peter is saying. When we saw Jesus transfigured, verse 17, 18, verse 19, he says, then the prophetic word was confirmed. Amen. Hallelujah. That also happens to me so many times. Things I was meditating on, and then something happens. A revelation comes in, or through a person, or through an encounter, or through a vision. That word that I was meditating on was confirmed, and it comes alive in my spirit. It comes alive in my spirit. Like Genesis chapter number 3, where God said and cursed the serpent, that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That word came alive when I had the encounter in spiritual warfare where a spiritual snake bit my heel. That word came alive, and God said, because you crushed his head, that's why there is a bruise on your heel. And that is the reminding ministry. I read Genesis chapter number 3 so many times, but an encounter brought the word alive through the interpretation of the teacher, who reminded me again the word. Are we understanding? He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Wow, 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 wow. Hallelujah. The Bible, a lady who used to come from Philippines in our meeting, and she was a nice lady, but she was not properly in God. I tried to help her, but you know, we cannot help some people. But you know, she called me that day and she told me, Pastor Rahul, I want to learn the Bible and I want to learn it like you. I said, that's good, but I want to learn it in a crash course of 3 months. I said, what? Do you know, me, I have not yet learned the Bible. It will take all my life to learn the Bible. And you want to learn it in 3 months. you are not understanding what is the Bible. You don't understand what is the word. First, you understand. All our lives, we have not learned the Bible. How much ever we read the Bible. The Bible is so, oh God. I am telling you, the treasures and revelations of the word of God. The whole globe, the whole earth will not be able to suffice it. It is so large. And you say you will learn, you want to do a crash course 3 months? Hallelujah. People say, I went to the Bible College Seminary. 4 years I was there. I am a Bible scholar. What? You are a scholar? I will not call myself a scholar all my life because I know what is the Bible. No one can be a scholar in this world. Hallelujah. Except the teacher. He is the scholar. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Many people don't understand what is this Bible. I am telling you, this Bible is not something, a book that can be learned in a divinity course of 4 years and you get a pastor's degree. You got a degree from the world. You did not get a degree from heaven. And you think, hallelujah. Amen. It will take whole life. I am telling you, I don't know the Bible all my life. When even my hair grows gray, I will still be learning the Bible. The Bible is so large. And we say we have come to know the Bible in a 3 years course, in a crash course of 3 months online. No, we cannot. We cannot. We need the reminding ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible is like, it's not a knowledge that we can grab in a 3 year course and keep it. The Bible is like, the words have to be fresh in every season and every day of our life. Amen. We can't depend on the revelations of yesterday. I can't open my diaries of yesterday. The word that I have read needs to come to me by the reminding of the teacher in a fresh way, as required for the season of today that we are in. Are we understanding? The Bible is a mystery. This book is a powerful book. Hallelujah. And no one can be a scholar in it. Only the teacher is the Holy Spirit, who reminds us. He will remind you what? All things that I have said to you. He remind you all things. He will teach all things, then he will remind you all things. Now, are we clear on the first help that he will offer? He will teach you all things. Okay, I told you what are the all things he will teach you. The second help, the Spirit of Truth will offer to you, is he would what? Remind you all things. So let us go to the next part. The third help that the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, would offer to us. And that is there in the book of John, chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, verse number 26 and 27. This is the third help that the Spirit of Truth will offer to us. John chapter number 15, verse number 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. What he will do? He will testify of me. That is the third help that he will offer. The Helper, the Spirit of Truth, makes us witnesses of Jesus Christ. Yes. What? He is the one who makes us the witnesses of Jesus Christ. Verse number 27. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the very beginning. Now, the reason why Jesus told the disciples to wait until they receive power from on high, and then they shall be witnesses for Jesus in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. The reason is because we cannot be an evangelist until he witnesses through us, witnesses Jesus through us. Actually, let me tell you a mystery. Let me tell you a mystery. Do you know we cannot be an evangelist? We are not at all eligible to be an evangelist. Do you know why? Because flesh and blood cannot witness the resurrected Christ. Do you understand that? What did I say? Flesh and blood cannot witness the resurrected Jesus Christ. Flesh and blood cannot do that. People without understanding the Holy Spirit, people who do not even know the Holy Spirit, go on the streets to evangelize. God is not pleased with it. God is not at all. I am telling you, though they are putting up pictures and doing this and that and saying, oh, this person got saved, that person got saved. It's not only glorying in, oh, someone accepted Jesus. What after that? Is he disciple to the Lord? Hallelujah. So any which ways, I'm not coming to evangelism, but I'm saying a person who does not knows the Holy Spirit, does not has a relationship with the Holy Spirit, only knows a little bit of the Bible, cannot be an evangelist, because evangelism is only through the witnessing of Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth is the one. Even Brother Raul is not the witness. The Spirit of truth is the one. Remember the revelation of the water and the blood of the Spirit and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned. I taught you from that. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the witness that Jesus died on the cross along with the water and the blood. Amen. Because those three can be the jurisdiction through which the plans of heaven can be implemented on earth, the water, the blood, and then the Holy Spirit. That witness, that because the Bible says the blood got finished and the water came out and he yielded up his spirit. The water, the blood, and the spirit. Those were the three witnesses that witnessed the death of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit became the recipient, you know, became the teacher, became the witness, who makes us the witnesses of the death of Jesus Christ and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, the Spirit of grace will bring you to the conviction of salvation, and then the Spirit of truth will make you a witness. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot evangelize. Only when he makes you a witness, he witnesses Christ to the world. He witnesses Christ to the multitudes, not us. We got to understand that. Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding? Remember, flesh and blood cannot witness the resurrected Jesus Christ. Okay? Do you know who was the first believer in the Bible? The first person who believed in Jesus. I told that long time back in my sermon. Maybe you don't remember it. Okay, I will tell you. The first believer in the Bible was John the Baptist. Hallelujah. Afterwards, search the scriptures. I don't have time to go in details. I took a whole 1.5-2 hour sermon to tell all those things. So, the book of John, the Gospel of John. John was told by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, that whoever comes to you for baptism, okay, and on that person you see the Holy Spirit descend and stay, that is the Messiah. So when Jesus came, he did not knew that was Jesus the Messiah, but when he was baptizing Jesus, the Holy Spirit came. His Holy Spirit came up. This is the Messiah, this is the Son of God, he declared. So John became the first believer. And who evangelized to John? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnessed Christ to John. Do you understand now? So, hallelujah. You got to understand the Bible, okay? The Bible says, Jesus said, you got to understand the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, verse number 26. This is what he is saying. John chapter number 15. The Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Do we see that? Peter, my close apostle, he will testify. He did not say that. He said, the spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The spirit of truth will testify of me. So the first person who got saved by the testifying of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus testifying to John that Jesus is the Messiah. He got saved. You see that? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then John was the one who introduced the two disciples, you know, Andrew and John, who wrote the Gospel of John, not John the Baptist, Andrew and John. Those two boys were first the disciples of John. They were with John. And when John introduced Jesus as the Lamb of God by the witness of the Holy Spirit, he introduced that revelation to who? Andrew and John. So Andrew and John, the guy John who wrote the Gospel of John, that John. Andrew and John, when they heard the evangelism or testimony of John the Baptist, they followed Jesus. They became the disciples of Jesus. I don't have time to show you how the disciples came. Do you know, before Jesus went for the fasting in the wilderness, Luke chapter number 4, he actually did, before that, he actually met the disciples. And the disciples were all with him. They went to the wedding of Cana. Remember in the wedding of Cana, I don't have time. You read the scriptures afterward. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, those are all parallel things. Parallel verses there. When the disciples were there in the wedding of Cana, you know, the wine got over and the mother came to Jesus. Mary came to Jesus, said, you know, the wine got over. And he said, lady, what I have to do with you? My time has not yet come. Because why he said that? The revelation, the meaning of it is because he did not yet went into the fasting before starting his ministry. That's why he said to Mary, my time did not come yet. Why are you asking me to do this miracle? But then the father said, do it. You know why the father allowed Jesus to do the miracle in the wedding of Cana? The Bible says after the disciples believed in him after he did that miracle. People don't know these things. Listen to me. The disciples believed in him after they saw the miracle. Then from there, he went to, I don't remember the place. From Cana of Galilee, I think he went to Capernaum. And after that, he went for the 40 days wilderness. After the 40 days wilderness, when he came back, he again met Peter fishing. Now, hallelujah. Listen, again met Peter and these people fishing there. And that's why when Jesus said, you go and cast the net into the deep, cast your nets into the deep. And they got a lot of fish. And after that, Peter bowed, Lord, I am a sinner, depart from me. The reason why Peter was convicted, because he understood that the Lord showed me a miracle in Cana of Galilee. But I believed and then I did not believe. I went back for fishing. And then again, the Lord is again confirming this is the Messiah, the Lord, the Lord Jesus is again bringing a miracle to show me that he is the Lord. So he got convicted because he was ignoring Jesus again and again. That's why he said, depart from me, for I am a sinner. Are you understanding? So any which ways, that is how the evangelism of Jesus started. It all started by the witnessing of the Holy Spirit. That is what I want to say, by the witnessing of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who will witness Jesus to people. The Spirit of God. Evangelists who were used mightily by God know it very well, know this revelation very well. Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke knew it very well. That's why he was used mightily by God as an evangelist in the evangelical office. He said that the gospel that I teach is like gloves, but the hand in the glove is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who goes and does the work. He understood that he is not the original evangelist. He is a medium through which the original evangelist, the Holy Spirit, is witnessing Jesus through his message to people, and people are receiving Jesus. When he understood that revelation, you know, You know, once he was teaching, once he was preaching the gospel from the stage in Africa, and the pastors were there behind him, all the pastors. And when he was preaching, after some time, all the pastors started to cry and weep, cry and weep during the salvation prayer. And he asked them, "Why you are crying and weeping?" The pastor said, "The Muslims of this area, who always rejected Christ, who were against Christianity, we see them here crying in the salvation prayer group down the ground. They are all accepting Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. His ministry was so powerful. You know, once he was preaching in a crusade, and many kilometers away, when he was preaching, a person got healed through the voice of the loudspeaker that was being released. Many kilometers away, a person got healed and accepted Jesus, because these people knew the Holy Spirit is the witness. Hallelujah. These people knew that, though we are preaching, you know, it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Whenever you go on that stage, whenever you go on that platform, know that you can do nothing. And ask the Holy Spirit to bring the message of the gospel alive, so that people receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Because He is the one who will witness Christ to the people, to all the multitudes. Okay, another thing. The 120 people in the upper room became witnesses of Jesus. When what came? The Holy Spirit came. That's why Jesus said, do not go out to preach. You know, many people concentrate on the commandment, on the great commission, that go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you got to also teach people, not that is the half truth. Teach people to wait in Jerusalem first until they receive power from on high, and then go out. Then go out by the witnessing of the Holy Spirit. You read the Acts of Apostle. Even Jesus, he did not go about everywhere doing whatever he wanted, every nation. No. Wherever the witness wants him to witness, only in those places he went. Amen. Are we understanding? Even the apostles, the Holy Spirit many times obstructed, you know, warned them not to step into some places, because the Holy Spirit did not have plans. So people nowadays who are evangelizing without the Holy Spirit, I want to tell those people, God is not pleased with you. First wait till you receive the power from on high, because people think, by my gift and by your gift, your message, however eloquent you are and however good you preach the gospel, it will do nothing until the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, would witness Christ to that person. Amen. Are we understanding? The third help is that He will witness Christ through us. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, He will do what? He will witness Christ through us. It is all the Holy Spirit. Okay, now let us go to the fourth help. The fourth help that the Spirit of truth would offer us. The fourth help is in Romans chapter number 8. Let's go to Romans chapter number 8. Verse number 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. This is the Spirit of grace he is talking about. Then, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. See, hallelujah. Do you see the scripture? Do you hear the scripture carefully? The Bible is not saying that we intercede. The Bible is saying, actually, as per the will of God, the one who can intercede is the Holy Spirit. So, The fourth help the Spirit of Truth will offer is that He would pray through us.
Wow. Amen.
He would intercede through us. Do you know I cannot intercede? I know that fact every time we do intercession. We cannot intercede. And sometimes if my mind is active, I will just pray in tongues so that the Holy Spirit would come to intercede. The Bible says that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for us with groanings, stay with me, which cannot be uttered. Oh God. Hallelujah. When there is a level in prayer, when you pray in English, you are praying with your mouth. You are praying, you know, Rahul is praying when you pray. But when the Spirit starts to pray, the language of the Spirit is groanings. Groaning is something that does not come from the vocal cords. Groaning is something that comes from your. It's not the voice that is generated from this vocal cord. It is the voice that is generated from the helper inside. Hallelujah. Groanings. No English. Nothing. No language. You just groan. Hallelujah. Amen. Groanings. I cannot groan now because we need a realm. But groanings is a voice that comes from the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit, the helper, starts to groan. You start to groan. And people around you don't even know what you are communicating to God. The groaning language. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The Spirit of Truth helps us to intercede, speaking through us in the language of groaning from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever groaned in the Spirit? Groaning, I'm not talking crying and weeping. No, groanings that comes from the Spirit man. Hallelujah. Groanings that comes from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That is what is groaning. Okay. So then the Bible says, for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, many times I pray for people. I do not pray. The Holy Spirit prays. And then they tell me, Brother Rahul, you know what? I did not tell you anything, but you covered all the points that I wanted you to cover. How did that happen? I do not know. The Spirit of God knew what I need to pray for the person. That is what it is saying. That's what it is saying. And we know all things. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So when I am allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through me for that very person, the Holy Spirit is praying the mind of God for that person. And this is my analysis. Christians who are humble before God, immediately they are rejoicing and they like those kinds of prayer that the Holy Spirit prays. Because what the Holy Spirit is praying through me is the mind of the Lord for them. But Christians who are rebellious against God, who are stubborn against the will of God, if I pray for them, they will be offended at my prayer 100% because I am not praying what would please them. I am praying the mind of God which they are resisting. So they will say, okay, thank you, brother. Okay, bye. And they will keep because they did not like that prayer. I prayed the mind which they were thinking, oh, you know, this brother should pray this things that I want. And then when I started to pray, the Holy Spirit actually prayed, and the Holy Spirit prayed the mind of God which they were resisting from quite a long time. So they did not like the prayer. You cannot pray. Oh my God. Hallelujah. You cannot. First of all, I said you cannot evangelize. Flesh and blood cannot witness the resurrected Lord Jesus. And then secondly, I want to tell you, flesh and blood cannot communicate with the Father in heaven. It's only the Holy Spirit that can communicate with the Father in heaven. That's why He is the Spirit of truth that helps us to intercede. Wow, hallelujah. Amen. And when we start to pray, when we say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God searches the mind of God and brings the utterance of the mind of God through our mouth for that very situation. Amen. Hallelujah. People of God, we need the helper to pray. We need the helper to witness. We need the helper to help us in all the service that we are doing in the kingdom of God. We need the helper. We need him so much. It says, he who searches the hearts knows the mind of what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. If you are praying without him, you are praying by your mind, there are high chances that you are not praying by the will of God or according to the will of God. Amen. There are two things that we can use to ensure that we are praying according to the will of God. First of all is the scripture. If you don't know the will of God, open the scripture and pray the scripture, what the scripture says. And then the Holy Spirit, the helper, would pray. He will pray through us. You got to say, Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit, pray through me. I don't know what I ought to pray, but the Bible says, you will help me in prayer. You will utter the will of God. Hallelujah. And then start to speak in tongues. Start to speak in tongues. What tongues does is, it will edify your spirit man and clear all the confusion, clear all the clouds, and then you will be able to connect with the Father. You will be able to pray His will. Amen. Are we understanding? The Holy Spirit is the one, the Spirit of truth, who intercedes through us. Okay, let me go to the fifth point now. Do we have time? Okay, let's go to the fifth point. So what did I say? The Spirit of truth, the first help he offers is teach you all things. The second help is remind you all things that are the doctrines of the word. The third help is he will witness Christ through you. The fourth is he will intercede through you. He will pray through you. That is the fourth help the Spirit of truth would offer. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me go to the fifth point of the Spirit of truth. Let's go now to the book of John, chapter number 16. Book of John, chapter number 16. Verse number 13 first. Okay, John chapter number 16. Verse number 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. What he will do? When the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Everyone say, he will guide me into all truth. Everyone say, he will guide me into.
He will guide me into all truth.
Yes, he will guide me into all truth, for he will not speak. Amen. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Now, these are different things. I have already explained to you John chapter number 14, the verses about Holy Spirit. And now let me go into this part by part. I don't know if I will be able to complete, but let me go ahead with this. Now, Jesus is introducing the students of his school to a new teacher. He is saying, you know, the syllabus will be there the same, but the teachers will change. The teacher will change. I am going to go to the Father. A new teacher will start to teach you the course. So, when you start to learn from this teacher, before you start to learn from this new teacher, let me introduce to you the way the approach of this teacher is not like how I teach to you. I teach to you by saying things to you like a teacher through lectures. But this teacher will teach you not through lectures basically, but he will what do is he will lead you into the reality of the teachings that he wants to teach you.
Yes.
He will lead you into the reality of the teaching that he wants to teach you. Amen. Remember, now listen to me. So this is how the new teacher will teach. He will not say things to you and teach you. He will be with you. I told you the abiding, he will be with you. Always he will be in you. And then by doing so, now Jesus physically could not be he is at the right hand. But Holy Spirit is the personality who will be always with you. He is a teacher who is not there only with you when you are sitting in his classroom for 2 hours. But he is there with you 24/7 because he will not teach you by giving you lectures, by teaching you, saying you things, but he will teach you by leading you into the reality of what he wants to teach you. Listen to me. Now Luke chapter number 4 says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. What? To be tempted by the enemy. Luke chapter number 4 says, the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be what? Tempted by the enemy. Do you know the Holy Spirit can lead you into places of testing? When the Bible says, you know, Jesus taught us, he said, bless those who curse you, pray for those who persecute you. We hear the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said it to us. Yes, bless those who curse you, pray for those who persecute you. But what the Holy Spirit will do to you is he will lead you to some people purposely who will curse you. Listen to me. He will lead you to some people who will persecute you so that when actually you are receiving curses through people in practicality, he will teach you how to bless them. Are we understanding what the Holy Spirit will do? The Holy Spirit will lead you into places where you do not want to go. Remember what he said to Peter? Jesus said to Peter, when you were young, you went wherever you wanted to go. But now when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will gird you, that is the Holy Spirit, and take you to the places you don't want to go. So the Holy Spirit is a leading spirit. My God, hallelujah. He will not always, he will, listen, you say Psalm 23 and you say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me sleep in the green pastures and all those things. But actually that psalm was written in the valley of death. And in the valley of death, actually David saw the Lord as his shepherd. And the valley of death did not feel like the valley of death for him. It felt like the green pastures for him. Why? The Holy Spirit led him in the valley of death to show him that how to fear no evil, for thou art with me in the valley of death. Holy Spirit leads you in the truth. And the hallelujah. Many of us will think, oh, Holy Spirit will take me to beautiful places. He will take me to the beautiful Italy. He will take me to Greece. And I will be, no, the Holy Spirit will take you in places like the wilderness, like the valley of death, like the table where the enemies are surrounding you. He will take you to places where people would curse you or people would persecute you, because in those places, he is leading you not to lecture you, but to teach you practically the word that you are reading. This is the new teacher I want to introduce you to. He will lead you into all truth. Do you understand that? Oh, brother, you know, the Bible says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. But how you will bless those who curse you if there is no one in your life to curse you at the first place? There will be. So, you got to The Bible says the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the enemy. The devil did not lead. The Spirit of God led. The Holy Spirit will lead you into places where you will be tempted thoroughly by the devil. And there he will teach you the word of God. There he will teach you how to overcome Satan with the sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. There he will teach you revelation. Sometimes you may fail. You may fall into sin. But he is there to lift you up and again teach you in that situation. He will lead you to difficult places. That is what he will do. He will lead you into the truth by putting you in difficult situations. When I was a young Christian, a pastor helped me. A pastor helped me because, you know, I told you about the testimony where my salary increased 10 times. When I joined that job, my God, there was a lot of pressure in that job. Lot of pressure in that job. And then some Christian in my church who previously gave an interview there, he started to discourage me. That company is an evil company, this and that, you know, why you will suffer that and this. And he was confusing. I was just a young Christian. And then we had a night prayer. We were praying in the night prayer. And the pastor was, a pastor was there in the night prayer. And then during the break of the night prayer, I told my pastor, I asked my pastor, Pastor, you know, this is the situation. What do you think? And the pastor gave me a godly counsel by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He said, you know, Rahul, don't expect to be in nice places. God will put you in difficult places. Remember the example of Joseph. If God wants to use you, he will put you in difficult places. And then when he said that, I knew it was from the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will put you in difficult places. That is what the word says. I am speaking from the word of God. Hallelujah. It says he will take you to places where you don't want to go. Jesus said to Peter, the Holy Spirit, the helper, will take you to places. Even Jesus himself was led in the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to tempted by the enemy. That is the leading of the Holy Spirit in all truth. You will learn the truth when your flesh is persecuted, when your flesh suffers, then you will learn the truth. Hallelujah. When your stomach is full, when your stomach is full and you have all the amenities, you have money to buy whatnot that you want in your life. You know, if you want a car, you have the money to buy a car. If you want this, you have the money to buy this. Everything is there around you. You will not learn truth there. You will learn truth when the flesh is persecuted. And the Holy Spirit will lead you. Are we understanding? He is the teacher, the new teacher that I want to introduce to you. He will not teach you things like I am teaching you. This teacher will take you and lead you, and there he will teach you the truth of the word of God practically. Like when we go for a driving school in India, many of the driving school nowadays have the system, automated system on the screen, where they will teach you clutch, brake and all those things, accelerator, how to release the clutch, how to put the first gear and all those things on the system, on the computer. That is the theoretical course. That is what Jesus was teaching them when the disciples were there. But now Jesus is saying that you got to go on the roads. And you know, the traffic and the roads in India are horrible. You got to become a cherubim to drive in India. You know what is a cherubim? Having eyes all around you. Anyone can come from anywhere in India. From the right, from the left, from the back, from the side, anyone can come and hit you. So you got to become a cherubim like this. Have eyes all around you. So you learn there on the system like that. But in practical condition, when you go on the road, who will teach you? What you learned there gave you an idea how to use the clutch, how to use the brake, how to use it and how to handle it. But when any motorcycle comes in front of you and people are honking at you and you have to go through a narrow space and all those things practically without hurting any part of your car, how will you do that? You need this new teacher for that, who will sit with you. That is the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will lead you, who will be with you. That's why a human teacher can be for you in the lecture room 2 hours. But after that, you've got to handle things by your own self. But the Holy Spirit, that's why he will abide with you always. He will abide in you always because he is leading you and teaching you all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How wonderful is that? Let us pray. These are the five things that the Spirit of Truth will do. He will lead you into all truth, the Bible says. Yes, he will lead you. Let us thank the Holy Spirit for his. If he is not there, he was not given. What we would have done? Oh, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. After hearing about him so much, can't you think about how wonderful he is and how much help does he offers to us? How much does he invests on us? And should you not give all your life and surrender to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would help you? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, oh, the Spirit of Truth, lead your people, lead us into the truth, lead us into the truth. May we stretch our hands and allow you, may your people stretch their hands and allow you to carry them to the places they don't want to go, so that you can teach them, Lord. Yes, Lord. Many people sometimes, Lord, are crying and complaining about what they are going through, but may they learn that they have been taken to those places by the leading of the Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. You will teach us by leading us into all truth. Lord, I pray, even as we have learned, Lord, today, Holy Spirit, that you would witness Christ through us. We cannot do it. You witness Christ. Lord, you put the words in our mouth. You remind us the doctrines of the Word of God. You pray through us, Spirit of Truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I pray that your people will experience your presence. The leading of the Spirit be released. Oh, Lord, Father, in the lives of your people. Let them have encounters with the Holy Spirit. Let them understand and know the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Lord, in your presence, there is healing divine. No other power can save us but thine. Lord, in your presence, there is healing divine. No other power can save us but thine. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Lord, in thy presence there is healing divine. No other power can save us but thine. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your leading. And even you are the teacher, I know, and you gave me the utterance, so I want to thank you and continue to grant us utterance for this times and season, that we will continue in the doctrine of the Word of God. Hallelujah. That we will be a people, Lord, who will esteem and respect and honor thy word, and be careful and be very determined to completely teach and to follow the word of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.